Today is our third message in third week of stewardship, and I've entitled the message, Principles of Giving. I already told you the three principles of good stewardship for me, for my life, that I've lived by and also discover in the Word of God. First one is tithing. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And that just proves that we believe in God. Giving back to Him 10% of what He's given to us. That He owns everything, He can supply everything. The second is that of not being in debt, and I briefly talked about that last week. And that is simply to not be enslaved by the lender, who would be a bank, the world, whatever. The third one is, I think, really exciting. I enjoy giving this message whenever I can, and that is to give generously. And this passage is a passage that the scriptures, the Lord of God, really laid upon our hearts and has given us a phenomenal direction in. So I want to share with you the principles of giving. First of all, according to the Word of God here, and I missed some of it, something didn't happen well on my iPad, so I couldn't see it. I'll get back to it later on. And that is, you will reap what you sow. And the amount that you reap is according to the amount that you sow. Now, just follow with me a little bit. Go back 2,000 years. You think about the people that are there. Most of them are farmers. It's an agrarian society. So when they use this illustration, this kind of idea of sowing, they understood. I don't know if you ever follow some of the really difficult places that is experiencing famine and starvation and so forth. Places in Africa, you know, where rain is not happening and crops not growing. But you will find amongst the farmers, even though there's not enough food to eat, they will always keep a bag of seed so that they can actually sow again. Because without the seed to sow, there will be nothing to ever reap. That's just how it is. This is a principle in the kingdom of God. That's what happens with farmers. That's what happens with your livelihood. You have to sow in order to reap. And if you sow very sparingly, you are going to reap very little. That's just how it is. This is a principle that we should understand with absolutely no disagreement on. But our world actually doesn't kind of look like that. You know, it's not what you give, what you sow. It's what you take, you know. That's what tyrants do. In the old days, you're a king and all those serfs serving you. You don't have to sow anything. You just go out there and take from them. You know, this is called taxes. I'm going to take from you. You know, you're going to give me half your harvest. Well, we don't want to be people like that. Those aren't people that God has blessed. These are not the ways of the kingdom of God. It is what you sow. You sow it out, you give it out, and you get back. This is also true in the kingdom of God. I don't know how often you have experienced it, but in our 37 years of marriage, Barbara and I myself, and also in our 36 years of ministry in churches, we've experienced this so many times, hundreds of times. It happens all the time. Just last December, in fact, at the end of the year, throughout the year, but at the end of the year, we make certain choices with how we give. There's things that we do. Sometimes we just, you know, make a percentage. Give half of what we have in the bank or whatever it is, something that God has blessed us, we give it. We have an organization that we want to help out. That's what we do. And we made some choices to be generous. And it wasn't easy this past year. It was a year in which we had to be a part of a lot of things, and it wasn't a lot of surplus necessarily. And I remember thinking at this time, you know, my house is about 25 years old. So the roof is about 25 years old. In fact, this fall, there was a couple of leaks, and I'm like, I don't really want to climb up there again, you know? It's just not my thing anymore. Too old to be on top of the roof to seal it. So I went in my attic, and I had a bucket here and some other things here to catch it, you know? It was leaking. It wasn't horrible. The roof is still survivable. Things are coming off and so forth. I had no idea, and I thought, you know, let me see about getting a roof, and I discovered a roof is about $12,000 for my roof. It's no big deal. That's the price of the roof. That's a lot of money. But, you know, I thought, I'm just going to delay that because if I did that, I couldn't do other things. And so we made a choice to give a little bit more, to certain areas. So next thing you know, I get a knock on my door, and I look out through the little peephole, you know, I open the door, and it looks like a salesman. You know, we get all these salesmen. I really don't want to open the door because a lot of times they come and you end up having about 5 or 10 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. You know, you just have those things. Nothing you can do. You can't turn them down. My neighbor's son came across one time. He was selling me the, you know, $2 raffle ticket. I bought $25 of it. You know, it's that kind of stuff. And I was really not in the mood for that. But I opened it up for some reason. And he says, you know what? I think you need a roof. Can I help you get a roof? I said, no. He said, listen, it won't cost you anything. Did you remember last April 19th? I said, what? There was a hailstorm. I said, really? Oh, yeah, that's right. Something like that, I remember. A lot of roofs are damaged. I can get you a roof, and your insurance will pay for it. Long and short of it, I don't want to take too much time. God gave me a roof for $4,000. The insurance paid the other $6,000, $7,000. Just out of the blue. Now, give you a warning. Don't think like this. There's some part of the churches in America, even amongst the evangelicals, that think this way. If you give $1 to God, he'll give you $1,000. There's something called seed money. In fact, one time we were ministering in a cell group, and we're talking about these things, and this lady afterwards, you know, knowing that we do a lot of missions work and orphans and so forth, she came up and gave me a check for like $20 or something like that. And she said, this is my seed money. I said, what? I have no idea what she's talking about. Later on, I discover she believed in this, using this passage, that it is her seed money. If she gives this $20, she's going to get 1,000 times back. I don't know where people get this idea from. What theologian, what pastor teach these things? That's not what God is talking about at all. Now, God does bless you when you give it out. He blesses you. He'll take care of you. But he's talking about far more than that. You need to understand that you can never outgive God. When you throw the seed out, when you sow it out, you know, you're going to reap a lot more. But it's not just for yourself. But God will take care of you. Just as he showed it to me, just a simple case amongst many, that you know what, you can trust me in something. You don't have to worry about, oh, if I give it, I can't afford anything else. No. God is going to take care of you. It is far more than that. But the principle here is really important. You sow it, you reap it. If you grip it, you don't sow it, you hold it, you won't reap it. He said, but I got lots of money, you know. You can't tell me this. It's not about that. Lots of the unbelievers, those who don't give away anything, they got lots of money. It's not about the money. It's not about the things alone. It is about what God gives to you in life and what he can do to you, for you, and through you. So the first principle here in giving is that the amount you reap is according to the amount you sow. If you are greedy about it, if you don't want to let it go, again, remember, this is God's stuff. You are surely not going to reap from it. The second principle is the attitude in your giving matters. I don't know if you know who this fellow is. His name is Grumpy Cat. He wrote a book, you know. Yeah, he's really popular, millions of views and on and on. His name is Grumpy Cat. I think a lot of times we're like grumpy cats. I'll give it, but I don't like it. You know, you shame me into a pastor, you guilted me into tithing, but I don't like it. I remember one member I had, he made it very clear, he's a tither. Well-to-do man, single man, well-to-do. But he calculated everything with a calculator to the penny. I'm not giving one penny more than that 10%. That's just how it's going to be. And if you know, he's a really not a generous man, but he just felt guilted into it, you know? I have to do that. You know, one of the things that sometimes I share with American pastors, and we get into a fellowship, and we talked about how different churches give, and I say, you know, in America, we are like, you know, it's none of your business. What we give, nobody should know. And by the way, I want to tell you, as a pastor, from the first day I was a pastor, I have never known what people give. Never. I never look at your tithe. I don't know what it is. Because you know what? I don't want to have an attitude like, whoa, this is a big giver, you know, but I have to discipline him. I can't do that. I don't want to get that way. And another one is, oh, he doesn't give at all. I'm not visiting him in the hospital. Let him give a little first, you know. I'm not going to do that. Never done it. But there are churches in different cultures, you know. Asian cultures are a little like that. If you go to a Chinese church like ours, and the one I was in actually, and still some of them do that, and particularly most Korean churches, you know, your giving is printed out on a weekly basis, inserted into the bulletin. I went to one church, and it was on a bulletin board. All the people, there are hundreds of people, you know, listed their names, how much they gave that week, on the bulletin board. You say, well, that's not right. Well, I don't know. The scripture talks about these kind of things. You remember Barnabas? He came and he gave his land to Peter. You remember that, right? And then Ananias and Sapphira saw that. I'm going to do that too. I gave it, but only half, right? You remember that. So obviously, it's an open thing. It's not an issue there in certain cultures. And in certain Asian cultures and other cultures, no issue at all. But it can lead to grumpy cat. You know? I got to give it because they got to know. Otherwise, this elder is not going to think highly of me. The pastor is going to think I'm a bum. I got to give it, right? I remember this one time. I was in a black church. And I was just participating there. And it was, we had about maybe 800 people there. And they decided that they weren't going to give. And this is how they gave. And they talked about it, spent a lot of time talking about this offering. And everybody had to get up and march down the aisle to give the offering plate right here. You know, you have to give. So everyone's going to see you. Well, you know what? I was just determined I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be grumpy cat there. I'm not going to give, you know, that I didn't want to. What am I going to do? Go up there and put a dollar in? They're going to see a dollar? I'm not going to give more than that. I'm not in the mood to give, you know. This is not what I want to do. So I decided, no, Lord, I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to. So row by row, they got up, you know. They came, and they're playing praise songs, and people putting money in. Got to our row. Everybody is walking over me. I'm sitting there, and I'm, oh, this is a bad idea. I should have sat in the back. They're just walking over me because the aisle was so narrow. They had to go like this. Excuse me. And I'm the only one sitting there, but you know what? I was determined. I am not going to give under compulsion, you know? And God doesn't want us to do that. God does not want us to give hypocritically or under compulsion. Because the attitude we give matters. It's not about the money. It's about the heart. It's not about whether you give a tithe or you give other things. It's whether you really wanted to give it or you're giving for a show or you think that God is going to bless you more because you gave him. No. It is about your heart. This is really important. The attitude in your giving matters. The third part I want to focus a little bit on. I'm going to see if I can get that scripture back. The last slide, if you can put that there. Okay. Let me read that for you, since I couldn't before. Overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. My last principle here, I want to spend a little time on. God ministers through your giving. He doesn't have to, you know. He's God. He can do anything. He can drop money from the air, you know, into any way he wants to. But yet God doesn't. He doesn't. He makes a choice. He's chosen to use his people to minister to others, to make a difference in a phenomenal way in at least three categories. First of all, you make a difference in the lives of people. You see these kids back there? They're from the Philippines. You made a difference in their lives. You and a bunch of other people. Every month I send money to them. And every once in a while, we send these boxes of gifts to them. We bless them in Christmas. These kids are dirt poor on the island Mindoro Occidental. No food at all sometimes. They live in the huts. The floor of their huts are dirt. And yet you and I made a difference in their lives. God ministered to them through us. And not only that, these kids, most of them have given their lives to Jesus Christ. And there are hundreds of thousands of others like them that as we continue to do so, we can make a difference. God uses us. You say, well, Why would he do that? You know, why does he want to work with people that are stingy about things? We don't want to give it up and all. But he gives us that opportunity to do so. Because of CBC, a ton of people are being ministered to. Because of your giving, because of your choice and your generosity, your liberality, people have been touched, lives have been changed, eternity has been transformed because of that. That's what God does. God ministers through your giving. You know, every month I have an opportunity to make a difference. And, you know, I pray and ask God to give me choices. I make a choice of about $10,000 that I send just to different places. To the Philippines, to India, to Latvia, to Ukraine, to Gracewood here, to Josiah Venture you met before. All these places God has given and encountered me in my life for possibilities. You know, as a simple pastor in New York City, you know, paid very little, didn't even get any new furniture until probably 15 years into our marriage. Literally, we use furniture all the time. Bought clothes sometimes, even in, you know, Goodwill places, because we didn't have a lot. That was no excuse for us not to give, because God still gave us opportunities, and we did. During all those moments, on all those times, God gave us opportunities to give in different ways. I've shared some of it with you before, you know, whether it's with pastors and missionaries and other people. We just gave, and God used those opportunities, even though we don't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot of money, to minister to these people. You know, you say, no, you can't do that. I'm a poor person. Let the rich people do it. No, this is not about rich or poor. This is about every one of us. This is what God does. God ministers through your giving. And you know what happens when he does? The second thing in the passage that we just read is that God is glorified. People are directed to God. People praise God. I mean, these kids, see, this is just one of many pictures I've received. These kids are thanking us. Yes, you can see it. Thank you, Chinese Baptist Church. Samalapo, it is. Tagalog for thank you. And then thank you, I see Pastor Dan in there too, and family. But you know what, most of all, they're thanking God. Because somebody in America, in Houston, cares about them. I mean, they go through life, you know, hardly anything. They wonder, is there a God in heaven? How come he doesn't care about my situation? How come he doesn't care that my brother's sick and ill? How come this kid doesn't care that my parents have no job? And then suddenly these things come, you know, little gifts that are there. And an organization says, come, we're going to feed you. We're going to give you some food. Help you have some clothes to go to school. Sure, they thank these people somewhere. They don't even know where it is in Houston. But they thank God more than anything else. And that's what God does. God uses us so that he will be glorified. Because he loves these children. And that's why I tell people all the time. You know, in a church, we have missions projects. You know, in my heart, I have a mission place. I have countries I have a big burden for. But you know what? God puts a burden upon every single one of our hearts, not just in the missions field, but locally. There are ministries here that he's put a burden in your heart for. And he's put a country in your heart. If you will open yourself to understanding that God ministers through you, and next thing you know, you're going to be all excited about what's happening there. The Philippines perhaps became a burden for me a long time ago. When Compassion International came to our church, you know, we did these concerts and everything. We had Phil Kagi, Randy Stonehill, those of you older, you know who they are. Younger ones are like, who are you talking about, Pastor? These are old guys, you know, great, great musicians, Christian musicians. They played in, and afterwards they made a presentation, and I happened to get one of those presentations. I said, I'm going to do that. So I supported this little boy named Danny Jan. That's his name, Danny Jan. You know, for years and years, as a little boy, all the way till he got to a place where he didn't need support anymore. Every month I would send him support. I write him letters and so forth. You know, that just opened my heart to what God is doing. That's all. It's no big deal. It's only like $20 a month. How much is that? A couple of letters here and there. But it burdened my heart to care about people. And God opened that opportunity for me. You know, the third thing, as God ministers to our giving, you know what happens? They lift us up in prayer. Do you know how many of these people tell me, Pastor Dan, we're praying for you? You know, every time I send something over, they say, thank you, Pastor Dan. We're keeping you in prayer. We're keeping your family in prayer. I believe it. You have people praying for you all over the world? Do you have people that are lifting you up in your family, in your children, your grandchildren? Do you have those people lifting you up in prayer and say, you have blessed us. We have put you in our prayer life. I'm excited. I've got kids in Ukraine doing that. People in Latvia doing that for us. People in India, in the Philippines. People saying to me, we're praying for you, Pastor Dan. God ministers through your giving. You say, well, what can I do? What can I do? I think this is exciting. These are principles that God has given to us to bless us, to grow us, to flourish us. He said, but I have so many bills, you know. It's just all there. I can't do it. I can't give much. I would say that's a lie. That's a lie from Satan. Some of you have a lot. You might say, I got to invest this, you know, what is going to happen, you know, for my grandchildren. Don't you worry about what God is going to do with your family. He's going to take care of them. You can do something. There's lots of things we can do. There are groups that I just mentioned, you know. There are groups out there on the mission field that really could use your blessing. There are people that are very dependent on what God's people do. This is above your tithe. Your tithe goes to the church. Whichever church you go to, if you happen to be here, it's your church here. If you go somewhere else, that church. But beyond that, God is going to bless you and give you ideas what to do. Right now, I want to tell you, Barbara and I, we are part of building 3 foster homes. I want to tell you, I'm not a millionaire, but we're part of building 3 foster homes in Ukraine. And we certainly are part of a bunch of things that we shared with you before. If we can do that, you know, with the resources that God has given to us, I think you guys can do it too. There are a lot of foster homes that need to be built, orphanages that need to be cared for, people that need your support as they minister. There are poor people there, on and on and on. What is this? This abundance of things. All you need to do is to believe that God can minister through you and that you want to. I think that the Lord's going to do some great and wonderful things through our church, through the people in our church. And in the weeks ahead and months ahead, I'm going to be talking to some of you specifically to consider certain things. So don't be surprised if you get a contact from Pastor Dan and say, would you come to a dinner I want you to be a part of? There's some wonderful ministries that I think you would love being a part of. But always remember this. You're going to reap what you sow. I want you to sow a lot because I want you to reap a lot. But don't be grumpy cat while you're at it. And then realize this, you know, you are going to be used by God to do some great and awesome things. Look forward to it. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, I know that I get so excited about this part of your word. Because I know it's true. You just give so much and you give it through us. I pray that you will give CBC folks here a heart of giving. However you do it, oh Lord God, allow us to experience this great joy of giving. We pray.